Hello, everyone. My name is Chris Pinedo. I'm a network security analyst over at NYU, and I'd like to introduce to you Susan Grajic. I hope I didn't butcher your last name. All right. And you are at Highlights and Insights from the EDUCAUSE 2011 Core Data Core Data Survey. Just a little background on Susan. Susan Grajic is EDUCAUSE's Vice President for Data Research and Analytics. Before joining EDUCAUSE, she spent over 25 years at Yale University. Hold on, my iPad freaks out right now on me. Like I was saying, she spent over 25 years over at Yale University learning the forgotten art of paper crane origami. No, she didn't do that, no. I just want to put that out there. She served as a deputy relationship manager at Yale's Information Technology Services Division, and before that, she held the position of senior director for ITS Strategy and Planning, in which she coordinated development of Yale's first IT strategic plan and led the creation and execution of the university's current IT strategy. In essence, Ms. Grajic has seen some bleep in her day. Ms. Grajic has a PhD in research psychology from Yale and held a faculty appointment in Yale University School for Medicine's Department of Epidemiology and Public Health. She has also has an established background in IT planning, assessment, metrics, as well as IT operational leadership. Her favorite color is blue, and her favorite number is 7. And without further ado...
I'm just glad he didn't ask me what my sign was. The last name is spelled is pronounced Grajic, but you didn't butcher it, and it's epidemiology, for those of you who care about that. That's right, for any epidemiologists out there who were offended. Welcome. I am so thrilled to have the opportunity to talk with you about the results of this study. I can't tell you how excited I am. I should emphasize that these are preliminary data because they are so messy, which means they're so real. So take them with a little bit of grain of salt, but they're certainly directionally correct. I'd like to welcome the online attendees as well as the face-to-face attendees. For both of you, I would also like to suggest that you might want to think about coming a little closer to wherever it is you will be seeing the results, because some of these results are sort of small and detailed, but I just really wanted to give you as much information, as much data as possible. Consider this a whirlwind tour of the core data survey and of the results. So, how many people filled out the core data survey this year? All right. Wonderful, wonderful. How many people do we have here from associates institutions? Okay. Hopefully more online. Bachelors, masters, doctorals, system offices, public institutions, private institutions. How many people do we have here from Canada? All right. In other international, other countries other than the U.S.? Great. And what's your role here? How many CIOs? How many people who work in IT support? Information security? Infrastructure? Enterprise or applications development or maintenance? Research computing or research? Teaching and learning? How many people here are faculty? And how many people do we have here who aren't from higher ed institutions, vendors, corporations? Welcome to all of you. Welcome to all of you. And I know that you played a number of different roles when you completed the CDS. How many people were primary representatives? Okay, authors? Reviewers? Managers? Don't know. You did something with CDS. You can't remember the roles. I will tell you that when I was at Yale, I often had the privilege and the pleasure and the onerous duty of completing parts of the core data survey or coordinating it for Yale and or both. So I know what an undertaking it is. And thank you so much for the contributions that you have made. And hopefully, we're going to re-deliver some of the value today. Now, the last question is, before we get started, what color is your institution? You've been in some of these presentations at this conference so far, and you've seen those three dots. Well, it turns out I use some colored dots in some of the graphs as well. And those colored dots map onto institutional types. So the green refer to associates institutions. The blue refer, well, let me go to the brown first. The brown refer to bachelor's liberal arts colleges. The blue refer to other bachelor's colleges, BA Gen and BAAA in the old Carnegie 2000 classification. The yellow are master's institutions, and the red are doctoral. So as I present the results, you can look for your institution. These are just some of the topics covered, so you can tell why this is going to be a whirlwind tour. And I'll go as quickly as I can. The IT organization. Okay. Well, as I said, today's results are based on initial analyses. We are really actively working to clean up the data. The data will be directionally correct. And I will tell you about the data that I'm more concerned about and data that I'm a little bit less concerned about. Right now, these data today that I'm presenting are reporting on contributions from as many as 805 institutions who completed the first module. Right now, we've already had additional institutions trickling in, adding their data, although they're not in the analyses. We're up to 818 institutions who've completed module one. You can see that most of the other modules were optional, and depending on your institution, you had to complete module 11 if you were part of a system or district, if you were the system or district office. You had to complete module 12 if you were part of a non-U.S. institution. We're all international, aren't we? And we should really call that non-U.S. All of the other modules were optional. And you can see that most people filled out modules 2 and 3, IT for students, IT for faculty, and learning. And quite a few of you, in fact, the majority of you, filled out everything else. And so that's pretty interesting to see. I'm sure you've already been looking at the response rates. And the thing to note there is that we had low response rates from community colleges, associates, institutions. We want to do better over time. We always have had that low response rate in the core data service, and we want to work with our associates institutions to try to get more contributions from you and try to make sure core data adds value. We had no private for-profit institutions who filled out this survey, so these results cannot be generalized to them. Non-U.S. institutions, the biggest group of contributors we had were from Canada, 28 institutions. So we were able in many cases to pull out the results from Canada separate. I don't know if that's useful or not. And part of what I'm looking for from you is feedback about what was really useful in these analyses and the way we're reporting and what wasn't so useful, what you want to see more of, what you want to see less of. Australia was the next biggest contingent, and we had a lot of 4Zs, 3Zs, 2Zs, and 1Zs from other nations. And thank you all. So, which CIOs are most likely to have strategic impact? And it turns out that if you are members of the president's or the chancellor's cabinet, and if you had an institutional strategic plan that incorporated IT, that's how we are measuring strategic impact. For the purposes of this, we did some analyses, and we said, which CIOs were most likely to be members of their president's or chancellor's cabinet, and which were most likely to have an institutional strategic plan that incorporated IT? Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to guess. Here are your options. Pick the two that you think are correct. Recently appointed, long-serving at private institutions, public, reported directly to the president or chancellor. An academic title, reports to the provost, et cetera. Anybody want to hazard a guess? Have you all kind of made your choices? You ready? Set? Okay, there we go. Recently appointed CIOs at public institutions. They were the most likely to have those. You'll read more about this in the Core Data Service Report. Our head statistician, Pam Arroway, over there, did an analysis and actually calculated how much more likely those folks were to be associated with institutional plans with IT and to report directly to the president's cabinet. But those are the two. So if you're one of those CIOs, congratulations. Academic involvement in IT governance. Most common to have in doctoral and in BA liberal arts institutions. Most common in those was some sort of academic involvement in IT governance. We had with doctoral institutions, 79% of the doctoral institutions who participated had a faculty, and 57% had a student advisory committee, and the numbers were really quite close with BA liberal arts institutions. I'm going to switch gears a little bit, still staying within the IT organization, and talk a little bit about service level agreements. So we asked institutions, do you have service level agreements? And we listed a whole bunch of different areas of IT. This is telling you the percent of institutions that had one or more service level agreements. So I guess what surprises me is that there are so many institutions that didn't have any. Now, is there a killer SLA of these institutions that have service level agreements? Is there one SLA that really all of them have? And then there's a bunch of others that a bunch of them have. Well, I don't really think there's a killer SLA. The most common one is for IT support, whether it's the help desk or desktop computing. But even then, only half of the institutions even had an SLA for IT support in some way or another. And you can see on down the road all of the others. This PowerPoint will be released online, so you'll be able to look at it in more detail. And this is one of the couple that's hardest to read. So if you can't read that and you want to come forward, now's your chance. If you can read that, you're fine for the rest of the presentation, I think. Who delivers IT services to the institution? We asked you a question about that. We said, was it central IT who delivers the service? We gave you a list of services, and we gave you some options. We said central IT. We said shared between IT and other units in the institution. We said the other unit offers this service. So central IT dominates in these nine services that you can see. And I think that won't be a surprise to you. They all kind of make sense. 11 services are commonly shared. And that's between, just to interpret this for you, between 50 and 25% of the reporting institutions indicated that they shared these between central IT and other units. And then finally, no surprise there, mailroom, institutional research, and library were much more often offered by other institutions. I think for institutional research, if I remember, 9% of the institutions provide institutional research out of central IT. Okay, outsourcing. Now, this is an area where I really want to stress the results from this are preliminary. It turns out we had no fewer than, I think, 4 questions about IT outsourcing in some way or another. We asked every question a little bit differently, whether it was the wording of the question about do you outsource SPLAT, or whether it was the listing of the services. And we're still looking through those. In some cases, we find wonderful consonants between the different ways the questions were asked, and in some cases, we find divergence. So please consider these results with a little bit of a grain of salt. One of the questions that we asked was, are your staff all or nearly all provided through an outsourcing arrangement? So that's a pretty extreme degree of outsourcing, and I think it won't surprise you to find out that 2.5% of institutions indicated that was the case. And only 4% of institutions have outsourced all or nearly all central IT services. And this gives you a sense of what those differences are by institutional type. Again, you know, nobody's doing very much of anything, but associates institutions are doing more than any other type of institution by far. Entire functions, we asked a question about that. And I know that this is another one that's hard to read. But even so, printer and copier services, 7.2% said those were outsourced. if I remember correctly, when we asked that question a little bit different way, and that was outsourcing or ASP arrangement, I think that printing went up to something like 14%. So that's where, you know, we need to kind of give you ranges or figure out what these data mean. But it was still it was still a high one. All the way down to institutional research, nobody reported outsourcing that. Okay. And then this was a different way that we looked at IT outsourcing. I told you about ASPs or outsourcing. And I'm giving you the direct quotes so that you can put this in context, run partially or entirely by an external supplier. You look at the data that way, there are different services listed. Sometimes they're sort of the same, but they were called different things. And student email, in that case, is the most common one. Now let's talk about the people who make our services run, the IT workforce. We did a little bit of looking at how those IT staff are managed. At 32% of institutions, we have a salary scale that is separate for IT professionals than for other staff at the institution. And that turns out to be a little bit of a differentiator, because of those 32%, almost all of them have a separate set of IT job titles or a broadband IT classification and compensation system. And of the ones who don't have a separate salary scale for IT, only about half of those have a separate classification and compensation scheme. Okay. How are we doing with staff development? Our budget dollars have decreased. We're all being asked to do more with less, or if we're really lucky, the same with less. And one of the easiest places and one of the first places to get cut, unfortunately, is travel and training. So it turns out that, you know, pretty much all of us have decreased our travel budgets. You know, the decline's been a little bit more for the BA Liberal Arts, but it started a little bit higher, and you can kind of see that the variability started a little bit high, and now it's all shrinking. We're all kind of there with around the same travel budgets, give or take a couple of $100 per institutional type. Training, the story's a little bit different. If you look at non-Canadian international institutions and doctoral institutions, they've managed to preserve their training budgets. And in the case of doctoral, they were near the bottom of the pack last fiscal year, and now they're closer to the middle of the pack. Now, how about those IT budgets and funding? And here's where, really, please take these data with a grain of salt, because the data are messy and we're actively trying to clean them up. These were tough data for you to report, and so therefore it's a little bit tough for us to report on them. Data entry errors, anytime you type in numbers, your finger may slip, the key on your keyboard may stick, so you may be off by a factor of 10. And when we first issued this survey, as those of you who filled it out know, every question was required, and what we found was that some institutions didn't have an answer. And so rather than make up the data, they just put in zeros, and we're trying to figure out what to do with those zeros. So that's a little bit of a pickle that we're in. First, let's start out with funding sources. For most of us, an operating appropriation funds more than 80% of the central IT budget in all institutional types except for public doctorals. And the public doctorals are the ones where you see the pink bar at the top. That's other sources of revenue. And they're the ones who are most likely to have a significant amount of revenue from sale of services chargeback to institutional clients. And those of you at public doctorals know what the chargeback game is all about. So I think that probably won't surprise you to see that. Now, here's where I said highly variable. What we did was we took the median IT spend for different institutional types, and we divided it by the IPEDS FTE data. Okay, and so we got quite a range of central IT spending per institutional type. You can come up and argue with me vehemently after this presentation and tell me why this is wrong, and I want to listen to you because we need to understand these data better. What these four charts are on the right-hand side of the graph is this gives you an idea of the distribution of responses that we got. The red pluses are the medians, and I know you can't read this, but we're gonna give this data to you later. But what we've done for each institutional type is we divided central IT spending by headcount of FTEs, and then we divided institutional IT spending by headcount of FTEs. And institutional IT spending is particularly suspect. I'm just really uncomfortable with those data. The top of the blue boxes are the 75th percentile of this ratio. The bottom is the 25th percentile. And then the top of the line is the 90th percentile, and the bottom is the 10th percentile. Now let's entirely switch gears in our whirlwind tour and go to talking about support for faculty use of IT in teaching and learning. Okay. These are different services that we asked about. I'm just going to read them to you quickly from right to left. I mean left to right. Faculty individual training in educational technology, learning management system, courser learning management system operation. I'm sorry, the next one was LMS support for faculty. The third one was LMS operation. Faculty group training in educational technology. Instructional technologies is next. Activities and opportunities for experience sharing. Then special support services for distance education. There's a reason why that one's brown. Instructional designers. Intensive support for faculty who are heavy users of the of teaching and learning and technology. Designated Instructional Technology Center for faculty. Faculty Teaching and Excellence Center with IT expertise. There is a reason that that is green. Special facilities for distance education, special grants and awards for innovative use of teaching and learning, and student technology assistance to help faculty. Now, to help you interpret these, this is the range of medians for different institutional types, okay? The white bar is the overall median for U.S. higher education. The bottom of each bar is the institutional type with the lowest median, and the top of each bar is the institutional type with the highest. Okay? The brown bars both are distance education, so you can see where distance education pops. You can see that there's a lot of variance on that. And that's because a lot of institutions strategically don't do it, distance education, so that won't be surprised. The green bars are both bars where central IT generally doesn't provide this service. It's generally provided by an area outside of central IT. And just to help you again, that special awards, special grants or awards for innovative use of IT, and Faculty Teaching and Excellence Center with IT expertise. Now here, I'd like to show you something that we call connecting the dots. And what we did was we took the data that you gave us on what's your status of deployment for different types of teaching and learning technologies. The data I just showed you were about teaching and learning IT-related services. These are about teaching and learning IT-related technologies. We asked you what stage you were in deploying those, and we gave you several options from, we haven't even thought about that. Nope, nowhere on our radar screen. To, we thought about it, and we ruled it out. We're not considering it. To, we are experimenting with it, or we're planning it. To, it's sparsely deployed, and that usually means a couple of people are doing it or a couple of groups. To, it's very broadly deployed. We weighted those data. We gave it a look-see among EDUCAUSE Center for Applied Research. So this really is our interpretive layer built on it. And we tried to give you a sense for what phase of deployment these technologies are overall in higher education, in the notion that that might be helpful to you. We have a number of technologies that are experimental. Pretty much nobody or not many people are really broadly deploying it. Very few institutions. We've got a number of technologies, document management, hybrid courses, e-learning, wholly online, and distance learning that we would describe as mainstream. And that is that many, many institutions are deploying these broadly. Then we have some that look like they're transitioning to mainstream, and some that are not quite mainstream, but they're sort of out of the transition. It looks like they're making the transition. Now, you'll see these bars on this graphic to the left that say innovative learning, content, social media, instruction, and content management. What we did with those was we took these different technologies and we kind of clustered them into broader groupings, and we looked where those broader groupings fell. So you can see content management looks like it's the most mature grouping of technologies. Innovative learning, which had things like open content and gaming, that was the least mature. You'll see a little bit more about that in the future, these connecting the dots graphs. Okay, LMSs. In use of commercial LMSs is more common in all types of institutions except, I'm going to show you the answer in the next chart, and in which institution are faculty and students most satisfied with their LMS. You get four options: those using a single open source, those using a single commercial, single homegrown, or multiple. So this is Jeopardy. You get to, well, you don't get to come up with a question, right? So it's not Jeopardy. But anyway, you can. The next two slides will reveal the answers. Use of commercial LMSs is most common in all institutions except, I'm sorry, that's commercial versus open source. It's most common in all institutions except for BA liberal arts. That's where use of an open source LMS is most common. Okay? And where is faculty satisfaction highest? Remember, I gave you those four options. Turns out it's not highest with the multiple LMS. That's the brown bar. It's highest with the single open source. Okay? IT support for students. All right, match the service with the percent of institutions that provide it in some or all of their student housing. Cable TV, wireless access, landline phones. Is it 64 for cable? 78 for landline? You got an answer? All right, here's the result. Wireless access is the highest, cable TV next, followed by landline telephones. All right. Institutions that require students to register their cell phones make use of them more than institutions who don't. I guess that's a duh, but maybe this will help you. Turns out that 47% of institutions require their students to register their cell phones, so about half. Of those, 94% offer students the option of receiving emergency communications versus only half of those that don't require their students to register cell phones. All right, and 15% of those institutions offer students the option to access institutional information systems via text message versus only 5%. All right, we also asked, what's your policy for student computers? Do you require students to purchase or lease a computer? Do you recommend? Does part of your institution require? Does part of your institution recommend? You can parse these at your leisure when we load the PowerPoint. But I think the biggest highlight is that the biggest differentiator is associates institutions, most of them have no requirements or recommendations. Who charges a technology fee and what does it average? What do you think the average student technology fee charges? What is it on average? $5, $90, $500, $200. I heard a $200 out there. Great. People charge them, institutions charge them in a variety of different ways. Only 4% charge it as a percent of tuition, except for associates institutions, and 69% of associates do. And you can see that it really depends on the institutional type whether or not a student technology fee is charged. Time to switch gears again and talk about support for research. All right. What does it cost IT to support the research mission at the institution? Well, our statisticians did a little bit of modeling, and they found out that for every 10% increase in research expenditure, spending increases in IT by 2% in central IT and by 0.5% in distributed IT. And the research expenditure was dated. Did we get that from iPads or did we ask that in Core Data? Can you remember, Pam? Oh, we thank you. Thank you very much. I was blanking. I was thinking, I thought we asked it, but didn't we? Now, this very long graph, which table, which I promise you I'm not going to read to you, I just show you this information because I want to see you to have an opportunity just to see about the range of IT-related research services and technologies that we asked you about in the IT support for research module. What we did was we clustered those in to the categories that you see: community building, content support, cyber infrastructure, data management, HP network, high performance computing, that's HPC and related, R&E network access, services to other institutions, storage and hosting, support for grants, and video conferencing. Then what we did was we charted those to see how many institutions were offering those services by central IT. Again, the white bar in the middle is the median for U.S. higher education. The far right-hand bar, the far left-hand bar is the lowest average for institutional type. The far right-hand bar is the highest for institutional type. Okay? Now, this is where, remember your color, that dark one on the top is red for doctorals. Then yellow for master's institutions, brown for BA liberal arts, blue for BA other, and green for associates. And so you can see where your institutional type fell. So you can see a number of things. You can see the range, which is greatest with HP networking. You can see where the middle of the pack is, which is that white bar, right? But you can also see where your institutional type fell, and this is where it fell on average. We did a little bit of connecting the dots with IT support for research institutions as well. For this, the categories that we identified were pervasive, frequent, and moderately common. And what we did, because we really wanted to see when an institution was, when research was a core key part of that institution's mission, we wanted to get a sense for what was happening with research IT in those missions. So we just pulled out doctoral institutions and institutions specializing in medicine and engineering, because those were the institutions where we found the most IT research activity was going on. And so for those institutions where that's their key mission and they really have to support it, you can see that high-performance networking and video conferencing are pervasive, and only moderately common are support for grants. This is where IT actually provides consulting and support services for researchers who are preparing grants. That's what that means. Who are delivering cyber infrastructure services to other institutions, so a shared services arrangement with other institutions, or who are providing some sort of content-related support. And by that, I mean that they have people in central IT who have some domain expertise in a research computing, whether it's statistics or bio computing or some other real research-related. That's what content support means. Okay, what about IT elsewhere in the institution? So we asked you about different IT functions: IT security, ERP, telephone, high-performance computing, institutional web design, distance learning, faculty teaching excellence center, libraries, institutional research, and we asked where that reported. The pink bars or salmon or whatever they look like on the screen that you're looking at, those were the reporting lines for central IT. And so you can see that the IT functions that are more on the left-hand side tend to be dominated by central IT, whereas the blue bars are separate from central IT. Somebody else in the institution primarily delivers that. You won't be surprised to see faculty, Teaching Excellence Center, libraries, institutional research, and the like. And then you see there's not much dotted line going on. Those are the green boxes in the middle. And you really didn't report that there was a heck of a lot of that going on. Okay, IT functions provided outside of central IT. What we asked you about with that is we said, okay, if it's not provided by central IT, how often are other folks doing it? You know, again, I think that this is not too surprising. The blue bars are, it turns out that Canadian institutions and doctoral institutions sort of had similar patterns, so we combined those. The same thing with associates and non-BA liberal arts. And then other internationals, BA liberal arts and masters tended to cluster together, and those are the green bars. Most often support or enterprise application support or faculty use for educational technology, those tend to be more often provided. IT security much, much less often, and network as well. Academic departments are more likely than administrative departments to deliver IT services. So if central IT doesn't do it, it's more likely that an academic department, and this includes professional schools like medical schools, law schools, business schools, right? They are more likely to provide IT services than an administrative department like admissions or HR or facilities or academic, I mean, institutional advancement. And this just shows you right now the brown bars are administrative departments. All right, so that's the percent of administrative departments overall that provide IT functions. The blue bars are academic departments, and those are the percent of academic departments in your institutions that provide IT functions. We just did this on doctoral and Canadian institutions because this tends to be where central IT is most heavily distributed. So we wanted to give you a picture of when IT is heavily distributed, what does it tend to look like? And that red bar simply is we took the 50%, which is the lowest academic department that is providing providing IT services, and that was human ecology. And then we just drew that across the board, and you can see that most administrative departments fall below that 50 percentile, but all of the academic departments except human ecology do fall above it. Okay, IT support, help desk, desktop support, other types of support. This is a ratio that I know a lot of you like to track. We asked you how many computers were at your institution, and we asked you how many help desk FTE you had and how many IT support FTE you had. Okay, what we did was we did a couple of things. The numbers that are not in parentheses are the numbers where those are the ratios of median computers supported by central IT. The numbers within parentheses were when we adjusted for the number of IT FTEs overall in your institution, which you also reported to us. So obviously the ratio goes down once you look across all IT. And what we don't know is we don't know how many computers overall at your institution central IT supports. We didn't ask you to estimate that. Modalities of help desk support. So a help desk can be many things. We all know about phone, and you can see right here, almost everybody provides phone support. Almost everybody provides email support. Walk-in, a little bit more of a range. A web form, a little bit more. Not so many people doing instant messaging and text messaging. And this is how your institutional types clustered. It's terribly uninteresting with the phone, but with instant messaging and even with a web form, I think that there are some institutional differences that you might find of interest. Another thing that we did was we gave you a whole list of different services and systems supported by help desks. We took the median number of different services and systems supported, and you'll see that that's 21. This also shows you the number of institutions that support that. So we don't have many institutions who are supporting not too much at all. And we do have a bunch that are supporting more than the median. The best support is for the basics, things like passwords and ERP and internet use. Those are the solid blue bars that provide full support. But a lot of help desks gamely try to provide best effort support. And so if you look at that, you can see that what the help desk supporting goes way, way up. That's the hash blue bar. Student email, and I am probably not going to have time to go through all of these graphs. We're on 51 of 76, so I'll speed up a little bit. This is data on student email outsourcing. 62% of institutions have told us, when we ask them point blank, have you outsourced student email? 62% of them said yes. You'll notice from the other outsourcing question, do you have an ASP or are you outsourcing? It was only 48%. So the truth lies somewhere in the middle, probably. But a whole bunch of institutions are planning to outsource email. What's the reason for outsourcing email? It was primarily cost, but that was not the only reason. You can see that access to additional features was also driving that, and that the reasons differed for different institutional types. Enterprise systems. Enterprise systems today, predominantly vendor applications managed in-house. Okay, so you can see the data right there. But where are we headed? You always say, well, you always look back in time. So we did ask some questions about where you are headed. And if you look at where we are headed, you get an interesting, tantalizing view into what is our possible future. And that suggests that the future of tomorrow, those are the brown bars where we asked you what's your anticipated strategy, will be toward open source and minimal customization. So you can see quite a bit of change are anticipated. Where might we see these trends first? We also asked you, okay, how old is your current system? And we asked you by different functions, right, from CRM or customer relationship management to HR, web content, portal, student email, library, financial, on and on. We asked you how old that was, and then we asked you, do you have plans to replace or to implement within 3 years? So you can see that there's really not much relationship between how old a system is and whether you plan to replace it within the next 3 years. But you can also see, and these are the blue bars, these are the institutions that plan to replace or implement. CRM is the biggest. That's not a surprise. Financials, student systems, HR payroll, those are the traditional ERP, and we didn't have too many institutions say they were planning. User satisfaction with enterprise systems, it depends. You reported high general satisfaction, mixed assessments with ease of use, and pretty low satisfaction with data access and reporting capabilities, and you gave yourselves pretty much high marks for systems implementations and upgrades. Okay, the lead role varies, and I only have a few minutes, so I'm going to get ready to wind up and stop, but I just want to show you, here's a preview of some of the data in terms of information system security responsibilities. The most common, and that's what reports into the InfoSec department, what you're supposed to do. What are your most common activities? These are the most common. Least common, you're all going to get a chance to review these data. Then indicators of information maturity, perhaps who's done the most. Doctoral and public institutions are engaged in more. Information security, the more responsibilities InfoSec has, the more activities it tends to do. And information security leads, if you have a full-time information security person who reports to the CIO, you're going to be tending to do more. Just quickly, data centers, we've got some information on data centers. The size varies greatly. Half of your servers overall, your reporting, are virtualized. And I think that also indicates why it looks like, on average, you've got more capacity, perhaps, than you've reported in the past. When disaster strikes, you're not looking so good with your disaster recovery plans, I have to tell you. I think that we've got some real work to do with that. Those who do have provisions for disaster recovery, most of your disaster recovery sites are on campus. There are opportunities there. Sustainability, IT-related sustainability initiatives. You can see that we are just beginning in this area, but we're still doing a lot. This was an experimental question. You can see the different institutional types. We did a little bit of a maturity index to see where things were headed overall. And then finally, a word about the core data service. We had a big redesign this year. We had some hits. I think we had a lot of hits. We did an evaluation. Half of you say you're not sure whether we're headed in the right direction or the wrong direction with this redesign. But if those of you who had an opinion, 3-1, you said it was headed in the right direction. We're reviewing your evaluations to make improvements. We will make as many improvements as we can this year, and we have plans to do more. Come tomorrow in room 201A, and you're going to hear about our plans for data benchmarking and analytics. So I thank you very much. Now, do we have any time for questions? I have 10 seconds for question. Anybody have a 10-second question or a 3-second question? I have time for more questions after. So thank you so much for making these data possible.